Hi, I'm Z. I'm an alcoholic, compulsive eater, codependent, and member of Al-Anon. And I've done these steps as they're laid out in this big book with help from God and at least three sponsors and many people in this room. And I've made some of my amends. I'm willing to make them all. And I live in steps 9, 10, 11, and 12 to the extent that I ask God each day to help me. And that's key to me. One of the reasons I signed up for 6 and 7 is because, you know, I say I took them. I thought I took them. But, you know, I was on such a high right after that hour that, you know, who knows? You know, did I really spend enough time there? And I have, and I've struggled with it a little bit, and I've looked into it a lot because I want to make sure I do them right, because I've certainly experienced so many wonderful benefits from the program of doing the steps. And there are a lot of ways out there you can do them, just like, you know, the fourth step. There's even pages on the internet that you can download all of these character defects and circle the ones that apply to you, and then you can work on them. But my problem is that I've been working on my defects all of my life. I remember reading self-help books, you know, The Power of Positive Thinking, I think was the first one, when I was about 16 years old. So obviously, you know, doing it that way, I didn't think would work for me. Other people go back to their fourth step and go through both the selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, and frightened, and start from there, but then you can go to your self-seeking behaviors, and you can list all of those too as character defects. And just looking at the negative never worked for me, even when I tried to turn it around and make it into a positive statement. In other times when I've spoke about this, I've spoke about the little bit on page 83, that first paragraph, and with the reading at the end. And it's amazing that these steps, there's only two paragraphs and 14 lines. And that was supposed to do for me what all of this work I've done for 60-something years hadn't done. But one of the things I see more and more in living these steps is what I consider I do now, is there's parts of step 6 and 7 all over this book. And 83 being an example, and I just like to read it quick like. There is a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we were sorry won't fill the bill at all. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being very careful not to criticize them. Their defects are glaring, but chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. So we clean house with the family, ask each morning in meditation that, and I change it to my Creator, show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And that's kind of the way that I'd work these steps, you know, more on a daily basis. And I think that's the way I probably will still work it. But in just really looking at it, I have so much more, I guess, wonder in how all of this happens and how all of the big book happened. As some of you know, I was always a little bit obsessed with history of the big book and all, but I'm even more so since I've been to see Dr. Bob's house. And so a lot of that, you know, kept popping up for me this week too. I wondered what Bill's intent was. Where was he going with this when he was writing this? So I looked up some speeches and I actually even read a book, but I'm not going to do anything quoting from the book or anything. If I remember something, I might throw it in. But it's just a miracle we're here. It's a miracle it got started. You know, Abby came to talk with Bill and told him about the Oxford group and the the Four Absolutes. Bill started going there, and the person that was kind of leading the groups and stuff for them was Sam Shoemaker, which sometimes his name's come up in a lot in AA history too. He was teaching and the Absolutes, and he was also working with people like Abby and Bill. They would come to the Episcopal Church where he was clergy, and he would be teaching the Four Absolutes. He went all over the place teaching the Four Absolutes. And Bill credits, in some of Bill's writing, he credits Sam Shoemaker with helping him get in touch with the spirituality. But then Sam Shoemaker, in some of his writings, he says that he didn't have anything to do with this, that this was between Bill and his higher power. And it says in there, and I don't know if it's true or not, because I don't think I've seen it anyplace else, that in the writing of the steps, that Bill did it in 40 minutes. Now, as I said, I can't confirm this, but Shoemaker says it in one of his writing. And he said that was a showed that it was the hand of God that was doing this writing, not anything that he had done. And I apologize if I sound like I'm preaching. I'm trying not to. But as I said, I worked on trying to change these character defects or things that I saw as defects for years and was never able to do it. And there was one thing I wanted to quote that he said. And a very dear person to me in this room often says, when we know better, we do better. And that, too, goes all the way back to Sam Shoemaker. Shoemaker wrote about that you have to have a daily surrender in three as well as in the sixth step. And that's an ongoing thing. And I could never really work the sixth and seventh step into my little daily practice. But when Doug, I think he's the last person that spoke on six and seven, he talked about it becoming a part of step 10. And it's amazing that I never heard that before. But since hearing it from Doug, I've seen it all over the place and heard it from many speakers. So that's just another wonderful thing about how this program works, is that we're constantly being exposed to some little thing that triggers something else that we benefit from. But Shoemaker also stressed that we surrender as much of ourselves to as much of God as we understand. So that just shows us it's a process that's ongoing, because our process of surrendering and is ongoing. And he also shared with AA, because he was one of those people, not an alcoholic, that was sometimes allowed to speak to groups. And he says, the ideas that God reveals as much truth to you as you can live up to. So you're getting little bits and pieces of it at a time. Because if God changed you all of a sudden, you know, I personally would probably freak out. And he also says that the spiritual life is based on looking inward and upward, never outward and downward. And I thought that was a terrific comment too. But as I said, these were things that Shoemaker was sharing with Bill. But then Bill was having his own experience. And Bill, as long as he's working on his spirituality with God, he keeps growing. He keeps getting closer to God. And that's just the beauty of the program. In Bill's writing and talking with other people about what was going on with the six and seven, he said that we should look at the defects or anything that separates us from God and our fellows. And that how we work on our defects is trying to align ourselves with the 12 principles. I thought this was very interesting too, that in my writing I came across something that said that they don't attribute the principles to Bill. They just kind of happened. They started showing up. You know, the individual ones for each step just kind of showed up and started being put on in literature and in the newsletter and that sort of thing. And they just kind of happened with the people working this program. And I thought, I've been to World Service before for OA, and I thought how amazing that was. I mean, to change one word in something may take 3 years and be debated and thoughts of pulling apart and all this kind of stuff. And that it just kind of happened when people were working these steps and moving forward. And I think we always get something, or I've always got something, about looking at the principles behind the steps. And of course, the principle behind the sixth step is willingness. And the principle behind the seventh step is humility. And I wanted to give you a definition of those because that helped me. And willingness is indispensable. It's deliberate. It's willfulness. It's readiness. It's consisting of a procedure, a form of exercise of free will, prepared in mind, attitude, and manner. And one of the things we're told over and over in the Big Book is that we are trying to get a new attitude, a new way of living. And as we do that, once again, we get closer and closer to the God of our understanding. And then I also want to share, I'm going pretty fast here. I better get this in, because this is something that I picked up from Dr. Bob's house. And this is a definition of humility. And he kept it on his desk all the time. This definition of humility is perpetual quietness of the heart. It is to have no trouble. It is never to be fretted or vexed, irritable or sore, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when no one praises me, and when I am blamed or despised, it is to have a blessed home in myself where I can go in and shut the door and pray to my Father in secret and be at peace, as in a deep sea of calmness, when all around and about is seemingly troubled. I want that all the time, but you know, I used to think my humility was never to try to be better than anyone else, was always to try to do positive things for people, to help people if I think they could. And also in my readings about this step, I found that you also have to look at your motives. And when Edith and I were on the way here today, she said something nice to me, which is not always nice. She said that she was so happy that that I was there and willing to help with, we have a little sick doggy that we're looking after, and that she was happy that I was always willing to help. And I've always prided myself on being willing to help people any way I can. But the difference now and then is the motive. The motive before might have been that, you know, they'll like me, that they'll appreciate me, that they'll do something for me if I need it done. Whereas now, with my changes that I attribute to, you know, the grace of God, I don't think that's not my motive. My motive is to be of service. My motive, and don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. There's still maybe many times that I'm being a people pleaser and doing it for that. But when I look at it, and that's what I'm doing in step 10, I'm looking to see how I'm interacting with people. I'm asking myself what my motive is. I am being willing to change. The courage to change is when I first did the third step prayer, it was all about that surrender was really hard because I'm offering myself to you. Build with me, do with me. You know, that's an awful lot to hand over to someone when I really didn't trust God. But the more I learned to trust God, the easier that is. Because I now know, which I didn't know when I first took step three, that God only wants what's best for me. He's not changing me just to do his bidding, although that's part of it. The change is becoming the best me that I can be. So I think that's it for me. I'm sorry. I know there's more stuff rolling around in my head, but I thank y'all for letting me speak, because whenever I speak, I do get so much more growth. It's about yes, I can have it up here, but when I speak, it has to come from here. And sometimes I'm surprised how, because I don't think of myself, many times I did not think of myself as a courageous person to change things. You know, I tried, but I don't know whether it was the not trusting or not having the courage. But when I was on my own, I couldn't do it. But with God, I can do it. And that is something that I give myself credit for today. I do have the courage to change. And it is so beneficial to me to just to be in this all the time and to be constantly. I'll share one other thing. In talking with someone recently, we were talking about, could you give me an example or some way that you've changed? Or the way that you look at things have changed. And the first one that came to my mind is when I first came to OA. This was shortly before Big Book got started here, but not within a year. I had this negative thought process that went on in my head all the time. I was my biggest critic. And I sometimes still do it. I sometimes can fall into that. The first miracle for me was that voice stopped in my head. Mm-hmm. That voice stopped it by being critical to anything and everything. It's just stopped going on. And they asked, "Well, did you notice immediately?" And I said, "Well, I don't really think it happened immediately, but I think it was a gradual process, just like everything else that changes in my life. It doesn't seem to change in leaps, you know, like sudden wham overnight, but it's a process where it keeps getting better and better over time." And that reminded me of something else that really struck me in this reading process was that they said that abstinence for me from both alcohol and sugar was a gift from God, but changing is you work with God, and God gives you grace little by little to change. It's not an overnight thing. It's something you have to work at it. But it works best when you're moving closer to God. That's what I've gotten all about all of this. So now I really will. Thank y'all very much.